Welcome to iFaith number 115 and the ancient Greco-Roman city of Perga, mentioned in the book of Acts, where Paul the Apostle preached. It's a huge sight. It's so good to be here and see it again. Last time in iFaith 114, we looked at Ezekiel as a model prophet. It's a bit of a wordplay because Ezekiel made a model of Jerusalem and showed that it would be destroyed by the Babylonians. He was personally involved in all kinds of creative dramatizations and stories throughout the book of Ezekiel. Today, in iFaith 115, we look at Ezekiel and the new heart. I remember as a very young Christian, a fellow who studied with me and baptized me was named Gary. And Gary invited me back to his house, which is just off the campus of Duke University. I always loved my weekly times with Gary because he would share ideas. He also had a very cute puppy. But he would share ideas of what he'd been reading lately. And one time I remember he'd been in Ezekiel, and he shared with me three passages that talk about the new life, the spirit, the new birth, so to speak, in the book of Ezekiel. And I was so excited, because in part because he was so excited, that I got back to my dorm room and looked up all the passages and actually made that my habit when anyone would seriously recommend something to me in the Bible, or a book maybe I should read outside the Bible, I would try to do just that. I never forgot those passages from Ezekiel, and I'm happy to say that at long last, 45 years later, I'm going to share them in a sermon. It's not enough, of course, just to be worshiping God with a nice building, even with political security like walls around the city, think of Nehemiah, or teaching ministry, think Ezra. Because none of these things guarantees a godly inner life. That is, matters of renewal and holiness and purity. In the Old Testament, it's often said the focus is external. In the New Testament, it's internal. That's very unfair and I think false. But what is true? Because there's plenty of grace and emphasis on the heart in the Old Testament. But at that time, in the Old Covenant, that arrangement between God and his people, the Holy Spirit was not given as an indwelling gift for followers of God. That did not happen until Jesus was glorified, until his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And we know that from John chapter 7. But in the passages we'll be looking at in my offering today, I hope you think about the new birth. Yes, I'm in the Old Testament. This is Ezekiel. This is 2,500 plus years ago. But it does connect with us as Christians in many ways. And I'm reading primarily from Ezekiel 36. We'll also be in chapter 37, 39, and even chapter 18. But we're going to start with our main passage, Ezekiel 36, 24. The Lord says, "For I will take you out of the nations, and I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you'll live in the land I gave your ancestors. You'll be my people, and I will be your God." These are amazing promises. And it's fair to ask, were these fulfilled? Were they fulfilled in the Old Testament times or just in the New Testament times? Well, here we read about cleansing. We read about a new heart, a heart that goes from stone to flesh. And already I'm interested. I'm paying attention. I remember back that evening at my friend Gary's house back in 1977. I couldn't wait to get back to my dorm to look up the passages, because I didn't want a heart of flesh. For too long, I'd had a heart of stone. He also refers to a new spirit. He even says he put the new spirit in the people. Now, he may be talking about putting the spirit in the Jews, or he may have been talking about the Holy Spirit as the gift, that is, the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's certainly possible. But that, in that case, would refer to the New Testament. Our next reading is from Ezekiel 18. "Therefore, you Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you've committed, and get a new heart and a new spirit. It feels so horrible when our heart's not right, when our spirit's not right, and only God can pull us out of the muck, out of that situation, and yet it's something we have to be open to. We're commanded to do this. Throughout Ezekiel 18, we read that God is reasonable and God is fair. If we've lived following God and obeying God for a long time, but we turn away, we reject His voice, and we do whatever we want to do, we do evil, then He won't forgive. On the other side, if we spend all of our life rebelling against God, but then we have a change. At whatever age, at age 18, or 25, or 50, or 99, but if we turn and we give Him our heart, then He will forgive us. The people of Israel thought that God wasn't being reasonable because they'd been disciplined for their covenant unfaithfulness. But God is reasonable and fair. He tells them, get a new heart, a new spirit. We're in a better position than them because under the new covenant, the New Testament, we have that indwelling Holy Spirit as the helper, also called the counselor. We have divine assistance and the power of that same Spirit by which Christ was raised from the dead, that resurrection power, that same Spirit indwells every man and woman who is a Christian. We also read in Ezekiel 39 that God would pour out His Spirit on His people at some point. Now, there are actually a number of passages that talk about this, not just in Ezekiel, also in Zechariah, in the prophet Isaiah, and in Joel. And that outpouring is fulfilled after Jesus dies and is resurrected at the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And it's said clearly that Jesus had to ascend to heaven. Then and only then, once He was sitting on the throne, could He give the Holy Spirit as a gift that would be poured out on everybody. Not as in the Old Testament, where you would try to follow God and have the right attitude, but you didn't have the Holy Spirit. That is, you didn't have the Father and the Son living in your heart. For more on that, and if that's a new concept, I encourage you to read John chapter 14, where Jesus says that if we love Him, we'll obey Him, and if we obey Him, then He and His Father will live in our hearts by the Spirit. But God will pour out the Spirit. This is something people look forward to in Old Testament times, but it didn't happen. Chapter 37 is another place I'd like to look at, or at least refer to. It's maybe the best known chapter in Ezekiel, because Ezekiel looks out on a dry valley, and the valley is filled with dry bones. And the Lord asks him, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel says, only you know. And then the bones start connecting to each other, and then they're covered with sinews and tendons and cartilage and skin, and eventually they stand up. It's a mighty army. It's a mighty people, a multitude that even in the most dry situation, hopeless, dead situation, God has that power available, that resurrection power. And that makes me think of the skeletal siege victims of Jerusalem. After the Babylonians destroyed the town, the city, we read about this in Lamentations. After the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, as Jesus prophesied in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, after that happened, and there you had the famine and the siege, people were just skeletal. Anyway, that's what it makes me think of. And yet, they weren't really victims because they brought the sin on themselves. But Ezekiel, although he has some very challenging things to say in the earlier chapters, before the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem, in these later chapters, which is what I'm pointing at now, chapter 36, 37, and 39, he gives hope. Those in exile in Babylon have hope. Now, what exactly did Yahweh do? Did he return the Jews to their physical land? Was it to be Judaism forever? And animal sacrifices? And following the Sabbath? Something that's easy to do if you've got money, you don't have to work every day. But once Christianity got into the Gentile world, there are a lot of places where that was impossible. Slaves don't dictate the days they work, for example. Was it to be Judaism forever? I'd say no, but a new covenant. And that new covenant had been referred to in Isaiah, for example, chapter 59, most famously in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. And there are all kinds of parallels here with the new birth the heart of stone becoming a heart of flesh. But the difference is we have the Father and the Son living in us by the Spirit. The Old Testament focuses on the heart, just as does the New Testament. And even if you're a Christian, even if you've received the Spirit through faith, repentance, baptism, you've experienced the new birth. Still, if you're like me, you'll need to ask God for the Spirit from time to time. Sometimes I think of this as, this is a bad analogy, but, you know, I'm driving the car. As the car gets low on fuel, I need to go to the station and put in the hose and add the gasoline, add the petrol. We all get low in the Spirit. So we're indwelt with the Spirit when we become Christians, Acts 2. But there are other times where we ask God because of special need to fill us with the Spirit again, not to save us again. No, but to fill us with the Spirit, for example, as we see in the end of Acts chapter 4. And even Jesus said, that our Father knows how to give good things to us, and won't he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Luke 11:13, great passage to memorize. So the Old Testament focuses on the heart, and God helps us. He doesn't expect us to live a burdened, dry, boring life with no help from him. Now, God is willing to help us through his Holy Spirit to experience that abundant life and to follow Christ. And I'm going to read our text one more time. And I hope you'll think now about the extraordinary power of God to touch hearts and to make lives new and to bring about a new creation. That new creation of which the New Testament speaks as we become Christians, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and even the new creation of the physical creation of the world, as we see at the end of Revelation. Well, here's our passage, and our next iFaith talk is from Joel. It's from Joel. Sorry there. anyway, let me read our text one more time, and please think about this. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And then you will live. Words of comfort from the Old Testament. This is our Bible, Christians, and I'm so happy we could spend some time. Thank you for listening to this iFaith message, and God bless you this day, and farewell from Perga in Pamphylia in modern Turkey. God bless.